the fact that I repeated again and again this morning that we live in an evil world. It doesn't mean that everybody in the world is bad. That's not what I mean. I mean that we live in a world that brings to us a devastating earthquake in Nicaragua, where a gape was open in the bottom of the sea, and the rush of the water, trying to find its level again, moved at the pace of 600 miles an hour. So high was the waves, it was about 5 stories high at least. And then while I was away, what happened in Miami? We live in a world that we don't always understand some of the tragedies. Not only things that happen to the earth itself, but things that happen to people. As we heard this morning, and I have been, without being morbid, I have been reminding myself throughout this week that it was a year ago this time that Dave Peters shared with us, and it was a month later he was gone. Turn, if you please, to Psalm 11 as I try to expand upon my thoughts. Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. This is my text. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I have 2 thoughts from this text this morning for us. The concerns of the saints, and then later on in the message, I want to share with you the concentration of the saints. The concern and the concentration of the saints. The concern of the saints are seen for us in Psalm 11, verses 1 and 2. And first of all, the psalmist shares with us, you see, he was facing some of the tragedies in life as we are facing, albeit in a different way, yet he was facing them. They were real to him in his day, as our tragedies are real to us in our day. This is for the comfort that I believe we find in God. The first thing that the psalmist was concerned about was what I call the delusions in society. Delusions in society, or deceptions, if you please. Deceptions in society. And this is seen in the promotion of the wicked. What had happened is that the wicked were beginning to make some of the rules and the laws that control the society in which the psalmist lived. And when he observed what was happening, immediately he noticed that the foundations were beginning to crumble. I want to concentrate just for a few moments at the activities of the wicked. David had noticed what was happening, and someone said to him, "Why don't you flee? Find a safe haven for yourself, David. All around you are things that are attempting to destroy your life. And if you stay where you are, chances are your very life will pay for being where you are." The activity of the wicked, and I want to concentrate just for a moment on the word wicked. It's a very, very vast word in the original language. The word wicked simply means those who violate the social rights and responsibilities of others, of righteous people. Those who live to do it. The word has to do with the sinful practices that are against righteousness. I found in some of my past readings, Francis Schaeffer wrote several years ago, of course he's been dead for a while now, but his books still speak, although he is no longer here. He speaks of 2 individuals in history. He speaks of Samuel Rutherford, the great Scottish preacher and writer. And he speaks of one of the contemporaries of, this age, Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan wrote, when he made a profession of Christ, Bob Dylan wrote these words. The title of the song from which it comes is a song called Slow Train Coming. And this is what he writes. Now, this is a man who is not a preacher, who had just become a new Christian, and he envisioned what was happening, and he writes, adulterers in the church, pornography in the schools, you got gangsters in power, and lawbreakers making rules. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up and strengthen the things that remain? In the 1600s, Rutherford wrote concerning the laws, and someone responded to him and said, what we need is inalienable rights, government by consent, separations of power so that nothing has to speak to the ills of society, just keep those things in church. The right of revolution, or as we would call it, the right to resist unlawful authority. Just a little bit of a thought of what was happening back there. And we see what the psalmist is saying. In the Lord I take refuge, even though I notice that the wicked are bending the bow. There are in high places people who are making rules and making laws that are beginning to threaten the foundation upon which our homes, our nation, and our country was founded on. And they will affect us, dear friends. They will affect us. Not only the activities of the wicked, but I want you to notice the aim of the wicked. The aim of the wicked. They aim in darkness. In other words, laws and things are being made in high places, and you and I do not know. You and I do not see those who are making it. We only feel the effects of those laws being made. All we do is to feel the effects of them. We don't know who is responsible for them. Look at what we see in this psalm. They shoot the bow. I did a long study of this word shoot, just one word, but a very interesting word indeed. Because the word has to do with what is happening from behind the trenches. The arrows are being pointed in a certain direction. They don't know who is responsible for shooting them, but coming they are. So they shoot the bow, and the idea is that the bow has a string, the arrow has a string tied to the archer. And he's shooting in a certain direction. And what he wants is to make sure that the bow reaches over where they want it to reach, but they have the control of it. So they can pull and give way as they wish to do. Where are they aiming this bow? Where are they aiming this arrow? The arrow, says the text, is being directed at the upright in heart, those whose lifestyle and beliefs contradicts the lifestyle and beliefs of the wicked. That is why I felt somewhat threatened. Things that are being done, and I will share some of them in a moment, things that are being done that will have direct effect upon your life and mine unless God brings a revival to change those things. So we look at the activities of the wicked. We look at the aim. It is at the upright in heart. The word upright, my friends, has to do with those whose conduct aligns with the Word of God, with the revelation of Scripture, what God says is to be and what is not to be. There is a desire to control what is happening in the lives of people who believe in God. We do not see it, as I shall share with you in a moment, we do not see it in a sense coming at us blatantly. It is very subtle. Inch by inch, step by step, brick by brick, the foundations are falling. And I am no prophet, nor am I the son of one. But I want to suggest to you that it will not be long before it will cost us more to be a believer in Jesus Christ in North America than it has ever cost us before. I'm sure that the folks will not mind me saying this. I was visiting in a home yesterday afternoon, and I asked about certain things in another part of the world. And the lady of the home responded to me, "There, in that place, you have to be a Christian if you are going to stand out from what is happening there, as it is difficult for someone to come from there and practice their religion in a Christian setting that contradicts what Christianity believes." And what I'm saying, that we are in a position, we're in a condition right now where the conditions are being changed, transformed, shifted. The ground is beginning to shake, to move. And my friends, unless we have foundations, we will become a part of the destruction that's going on around us. The delusions in society that we can remove the foundations without experiencing the consequences thereof. Look at the disintegration in society then. This is where I become more specific. The disintegration. This is what was happening to David. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can those do who really have a sense of conviction of the reality of truth as it is revealed in Scripture? Foundations, my friends, is the basic support for moral and political strength that is needed for the success of a nation. That's what a foundation is. I don't know much about building, but I am told that when you're building a house, the first thing you do is to build a foundation and to make sure that the foundation is secure so that what happens, that house can stand. I don't know if the teachers are in church this morning, but very intrigued with my son over the past couple of weeks. He started to sing. And as we were coming last Sunday from Mackinac Island, traveling, he was singing, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock." And I thought, I have to find out who his teacher is to let them know it's working. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And what that is, my friends, is Scripture. Wise people build their lives upon foundation that will not be shaken when all other foundations are beginning to shake and are destroyed. The word destroyed means to overthrow, to pull down, to deliberately make a step in the direction of destroying what was there to hold up or to support the society. I want to name to you five things that are threatening the foundation. I don't know if you are familiar with the term political correctness. Political correctness. In very simple terms, friends, this is what political correctness is. Any word or language that violates someone else's right must not be used, must be outlawed. Any word or language. I listened to Chuck Colson dealing with this not too long ago. And you know the little children's book? Chuck Colson called it Barbar, B-A-R-B-A-R. Some of you use that for your children. That book is now being banned in New York City. It is being banned because all the faces in there are white. And it's a violation in a place where there are black faces to have white faces. And it will go on and on. It will multiply. If we use such things, my friends, that certain lifestyles are wrong and it violates those who practice that lifestyle, we can be in danger of using those words. And when they shoot the arrow into the direction where the church calls for righteousness, where God calls upon his people to display the kind of lifestyle that contradicts the wickedness of the nation, when we do it, we can be in danger for it. I want to tell you, there is no way that I'd like to go to jail. I used to visit correctional institutes out in Alberta, and one of the most horrendous things to ever enter your ear or ears is to hear those doors slamming behind you. As they would open the doors and I would go in, I remember being out in Drumheller, going into maximum security, holding services out there. And as I go in, nobody opened the door. Well, someone did. But there was no person there opening the door. Electronically, they were open, and electronically, they were closed. I thought, why did these guys decide to hold me for a hostage? Well, they didn't. I'm saying that to say this, dear friends. By the grace of God, I stand before you this morning to say that when the arrows are pointed in the direction of the church and they begin to ask the church to respond to what is happening, you will visit me in prison. The time has come, my friends, and this pulpit will never be a political platform, never. But when God calls for righteousness to prevail and righteousness is being threatened, then someone must take the stand. Jeremiah did, and he paid the price for it. Political correctness will affect the language from the pulpit. Political correctness will affect the communication with the society in which we live. There is also injustice. I heard something this past week that I couldn't believe. A man was arrested. This was done in the United States, but can we be too far behind? He was arrested 4 years ago. And he escaped immediately after being arrested. He was out for 4 years. They captured him just the other day, and he wants his 4 years that he was out to be the time he served. It's true. Or he will sue the U.S. government. Friends, that's the world we're living in. Coming closer to home. A man was serving life sentence for killing his first wife. They found his body not too far from here in Lake Ontario this past week. The police were going home where he lived in Pickering to tell his wife, only to find that he had already killed her a second time because he was out on parole. Justice. Where is it? These are the foundations that are falling, friends. And if these foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? The sacredness of life. I was sharing with friends this past week. I sat in my car and listened, almost afraid to get out of the car, as I listened to what is called the future of biological development. And to just shorten this is what they will be able to do later on. Through technological and scientific advancement, they will be able, within the next 20 years, to gauge the intellect of the fetus. And they will be able to program, and they will be able to package the intellect so that you can get the level of intellect you want to control the society. Now, that's not a dream I have. I listened as this was being purported this past week. What will happen to the aged? We talk about abortion. And do you know, my friends, that in the United States, I don't know what the statistics are in Canada, in the United States, 1,106 teenagers actually have an abortion every day. Every day, 1,106 teenagers. The sacredness of life. But what will happen to the aged when they are no longer useful to society, or the disabled? What will happen? Once you begin with a fetus, whom, by the way, I believe is alive, once you begin, where will it end? Who will control those who are controlling the arrows that are being pointed? Here's the hot potato, safe sex. As I said, my friends, to the teenagers up in Blind River this past week, it might be nice to have Magic Johnson come and tell you about safe sex, but Magic Johnson cannot deal with guilt. Can't. same-sex union. This is another hot potato. This will affect us as God's people. These are the disintegration of society. Marriage breakdown. I do not say this, my friends, with any sense of joy at all. As I read this past week where Sandy Patty got a divorce, I could hardly believe it. This woman that we looked up to, the foundations are crumbling. What will the righteous do? Well, my heart is heavy as I share these things. I can hardly talk, believe me. Verse 4, the second part of my text. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven, or is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. And the one who loves violence or the wicked, God's soul, S-O-U-L, hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. Let me share with you the concentration of the saints. There are concerns that the saints have now. The saints must find somewhere to place their confidence when the foundations are crumbling. Three of them. First, my friends, the contemplation of the saints is on the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. The Lord is in his holy temple. He sits upon his throne. The whole idea of God sitting upon his throne is dealing with his sovereignty. You know what sovereignty is? Sovereignty is the ability of God to do whatever he wants uninhibited by men or by nation to accomplish that. God is not at all hindered, cannot be hindered. He is sovereign. He sits enthroned. And the idea of God sitting enthroned speaks, my friends, of the complacency of God. Now, that doesn't mean unconcern. The word complacent has a lot more meaning than what we take it to be. The word means that God is settled. He's settled. He knows precisely what he's going to do. We shall see in a minute, he doesn't only know what he's going to do, he knows when he's going to do it. It's the sovereignty of God. Psalm 115, verse 3, the Lord sits enthroned in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And when we begin to concentrate on the sovereignty of God, we begin to look on a foundation that is unshakable. A foundation that cannot be destroyed. A foundation, my friends, that is eternally settled. We need to elevate our thinking to where God is so that we're not easily overthrown by what's happening in our world. Like me when I was driving this past week, and saying, I wish there were a safer place to go. I literally said that. First time in my life, I don't know if I'm getting older or not. Well, I am getting older, but that's not here or there. I listen to young people who are not yet 20 talk about the same thing. And you know, there's a fallacy I had. May I just share this with you? A fallacy I have in my mind. I thought that when you live in little places like Blind River, Bruce's Mine, for where the Amos's daughter live, I went to visit them up in Shiblo Lake. You know, man, I thought I was never going to reach any place out there. I was just driving and I said to my wife, do people really live out here? Well, I found it. I thought when you get to little places like that, there wouldn't be any problems. You're safe from all the big life tragedies, big city tragedies. No, friends. Young people last week shared. One young man with tears said, I called my mother for the first time in a long time, and my mother said to me, don't bother me, I don't want to hear from you. One little girl, young lady crying, my mom and dad are separated, they're divorced. I haven't spent any time with my father for 6 years. This Christmas I'm going to spend Christmas with him. And on it went. No, small tongues are no escape for big problems. They're there. Because we live in a kind of world. We live in the sovereignty of God. We need to recapture, my friends, that blessedness of a foundation that cannot be destroyed. Not only the sovereignty of God we have with his complacency, we have the consciousness of God. His behold, his eyes, and his eyelids see. The word behold means, my friends, that God has absolute knowledge of what is happening. He is not indifferent. He knows precisely what will take place, what is taking place. And so when we think on the sovereignty of God, we begin to understand that God is in control, even though it looks like things are out of control. We have divine complacence. We have divine consciousness. And then we have, my friends, in verse 5, this last part, divine condemnation. Divine condemnation. We don't wish this on anybody. It is what God's word says. Behold, the Lord will rain brimstone and fire. This goes back, my friends, to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what God did. When they violate life, sacred life, when they destroyed foundations, God rained brimstone and fire on them. And the scripture says that God hates, has no desire to make contact with those who are wicked in their aim and in their activities. That's the scripture text this morning. The schedule of God. We have the sovereignty of God. Let's concentrate on it. We have the schedule of God. This is what the text says. Upon the wicked he will. A time to come. Their cup is not yet full. Allow me just one moment again, please. My son has a way of very strong will. Very strong will. And a few weeks ago it was why. Why? Now it's no. And so he was acting up one day up at Blind River. I mean, he was going to it. And I said to him, I am counting to six. Six. See, six is the number of man. Seven is the number of God. And I started to count. One. Two, and I got as far as five. And his cup was not full. See, if his cup had been filled, he would have gotten the consequences. But the cup is not yet full. I have heard good men saying, if God doesn't judge this society, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. My friends, I would never use language like that for God. God's schedule is not man's schedule. The cup is not yet full. And this is why I'm preaching this way this morning. Because, my friends, we're saying there is still yet time. The schedule of God is not to rain brimstone and fire immediately. For 120 years, God actually suffered with the people in Noah's day. And Abraham went to God before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And he said, Lord, you can't do it. You can't do it. And God said, okay, I will wait. And the prayers of God's people can actually, if you please, delay the schedule of God to see, my friends, whether men will repent and turn from their evil ways. The schedule of God. Psalm 50. God said to the wicked, you did all these things and you thought I was one like you. Listen, I'm going to rain brimstone on you. That's what God says. And lastly, the sacredness, the sureness of God, the sureness of God. In the Lord I take refuge. I'm going to close here and say this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer, dear friends, keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting God. In the Lord, I take refuge. I will not flee to any other place, big or small, remote or popular. I will stay where I am. I will stand my ground with God. Because the ultimate purpose of God is for his people to see his face. So if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Concentrate on those foundations that are unshakable, that cannot be shaken. God's throne is in the heaven, and man can never touch that. Let's turn to our closing hymn. It is number 20, Revive Us Again. This is a prayer as we face these days in which we're living.